Texas Radio here. Welcome, folks, to the new year. Happy days are here again. Da, da. No, no, no. You know me better than that. Your little bundle of joy is an illusory bundle of joy, I guess. You know, we find our bright spots where we can. It is January the 3rd, 2021. First time I've had to use that phrase. Survived 2020, the blizzard of 2020. New Year's Eve day. It almost sounds oxymoronic to me. But, no, actually had, it started off raining like crazy out here, and then it got a little bit colder. If it would have been cold when it was raining hard, we would have had 5 or 6 inches of ice or a whole bunch of snow. But ended up getting about three-quarter of an inch here. A real blizzard for around here. And by morning, it was pretty much gone. So, you know, I haven't been able to get my sled out and play in the snow since I moved down to here to Texas. But it sits out there waiting. Maybe with the climate change coming up, it'll actually get a chance to be used again before I get too old to have fun doing it. But anyhow, just Steve is a little under the weather, so he will not be joining us today. Hope he gets to feeling better. Yeah, just had some weird synchronicities here in life, you know. And besides, you know, I had fun, like I said, a couple of weeks back, you know, talking with Lauren in Ohio. She said it was just kind of an accident. I generally don't click the live button. She goes to the archives, and that was a serendipitous accident. I guess if that's an oxymoronic or not, I don't know. You word people out there might be able to correct me on that. And then last Sunday evening, I was sitting here watching some shows, some documentaries and such. A couple of them happened to be on our adventures in kinetic military actions, what we shortened to WAR. I guess WAR is kind of a bad word nowadays, so they made it all sound all highbrow and everything, and they call it now kinetic military action. Just doesn't sound quite as bad as WAR, does it? Always got a negative connotation. But kinetic military action, that almost sounds like we're doing something good, unless you know physics. And anyway, I called Steve up, and I said, yeah, I got something I'd like to talk about on next week's show. I said, you know, I have my flashbacks, you know, and they're not like, you know, going to war and, you know, killing people at long range that really had never done anything to me except for trying to kill me for being in their country. You know, it's not those kind of flashbacks, but just flashbacks of experiences I've had and what kind of a, I guess, it was explained to me one time that, you know, the guy said to me, he said, Alan, he said, maybe you got to realize maybe you weren't just really, you know, asleep, you know, all those earlier years. You were more or less just kind of sleepwalking. You know, maybe that's probably why you kind of didn't fit in. Because you saw things, you heard things, you recognized things, and tried to put them into context. But in today's world, where the manipulation, everything once again is manipulation. Everything we do, you know, it's you manipulate your environment to keep you comfortable, et cetera, et cetera. Everything we do basically is a manipulation of one type or another. But when it becomes malicious. And it's the malicious manipulation, you know, with ill intent. That's when it becomes antisocial, psychotic, sociopathic. There's a lot of people out there nowadays who have been trained to be that way. And that's why I kind of stay a hermit out here. But he explained to me that, you know, because when I came across Patriot Radio and you know, started hearing, you know, the radio hosts and started getting, you know, access to books that of course we never knew were out there. With me, it's if I had a phone number I could call and order a book, I'd call and order a book. You know, got some from Joyce Riley in the Power Hour. First book I think I ever ordered was called Spider's Web, How United States Armed Iraq, you know, before and during, you know, the first sandbox war over there that we went over in the 90s. And started waking up and started reading about why their national security advisor could barely speak English, and this guy is supposed to be, you know, there to save us. You know, Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, all these characters. I always wondered about it. It's like, well, why are they even there? It's like, you know, this guy sounds like he's a Russian, but the Russians are our enemies, you know. Always mystified me. And but then the explanations I got just, you know, they really just kind of confused me that much more. But still stuck in the back of my head were, you know, those little occurrences, you know, the things that I would see. And until you get a point of reference that makes sense to you, it's kind of hard to connect those things. You know, you just kind of, oh, well, you know, kind of blithely accept it, you know, not really being dumb, but not knowing the world as it is and the world that was being created that we're actually being forced to live in now. It's gotten a lot more obvious now, the things that they're doing to us. I really can't believe that a lot of these people aren't waking up. I think they're just getting more and more confused, and the confusion creates frustration, and the frustration creates, I don't know, hope and inactivity. It's a very strange, mind-controlled world that we live in. But anyway, I wanted to talk about war and kind of some of my little experiences that I had through life. Not only was, you know, my father, you know, he was a cryptologist. He taught classes in code breaking. You know, grew up on a right outside of a military base. You know, we used to go into the base and, you know, go to the commissary, and weekends we'd go to the movie theater and pay our quarter and get to watch two movies for a quarter, you know, go to the base swimming pool. You know, basically everything that we kind of did was connected with the base. You know, even the school that I went, you know, the elementary school was just a few blocks off the base, and most of the kids going there had parents connected one way or another with the military. So, but it wasn't like a gung-ho. It was kind of a spook base. You know, I used to sit in class and listen to sonic booms, you know, sometimes, you know, four, five, six of them a day. You'd be sitting in class and, you know, the windows would rattle. And it wasn't until much later that I found out that, well, they weren't supposed to be doing that over, you know, continental airspace. And there's supposedly treaties against it. I guess it does rattle and shake buildings and foundations when those things go off. But you know, like I said, my father, and I always thought it was strange. Growing up, he never once, can I remember him, or my brothers even telling me that he said anything to him, never once did he say, well, son, have you ever thought about a career in the military? And it's like, well, I come to find out a little bit more now, you know, talking with my mother, who's now 89 years old, as to why that might have happened. And she brought up to me that, well, you know, your dad made it as high as he could, you know, not having any college education. You know, he got his GED. You know, he was born a sharecropper's son, and his father was a drunk, and his mom died early, and he was passed around from relative to relative and got out as soon as he could and went out and kind of went wild in the world and joined the military, I guess, to get some structure in his life. Found out that he had a brain, but the military would only allow him to get so high. You know, he made it to master sergeant in the Air Force, which is as high as he could climb without the piece of paper that says you're smart. Even though he taught classes in code breaking, you know, he had a very analytical mind, apparently. And my mother said, well, you know, because I talked with her about my corporate experience, you know, it's just a bunch of one-up and brown-nosing, backstabbing rat bastards. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, how competent you are in what you actually are supposed to be doing. It's, can you sneak into the boss's office and, you know, rat on someone who didn't quite follow policy or procedure, you know, et cetera, you know, it's even though they would do it themselves, but there wasn't, you know, he was, you know, these people were top rat bastards. So they, even though they didn't follow policy all the time themselves, they were the ones who went in and told on everyone else that didn't, you know, she said, yeah, basically that's what your dad saw, you know, the upper echelons of the military as. He did not like, you know, the officers. He was, I guess, probably happier being an NCO than he would have been, you know, going up into the officer class, because he, as smart as he was, he, I guess, didn't have that backstabbing instinct in him. So he stayed where he was, did his 20 years, and you know, got out and retired and got jobs that he got because he was also a 32nd degree Mason, so he had a lot of job opportunities out there that a lot of other people didn't. You know, that one of those special clubs that, you know, helped you get along. You know, it's who you know, not really what you know, even though my dad was pretty smart. You know, a lot of the Masons were officers, and I guess they weren't supposed to fraternize, but doesn't matter if you're in a Masonic lodge, right? The lower ones can, you know, you can associate with the officers if you're in the Masonic lodge and you're one of the brethren, you know. Once again, George Carlin comes to mind over and over. It's a big club, and we're not in it. And there's just different levels of that big club, and some of us are in it, some of us aren't. Some of us realize, you know, I was in a fraternity, part of a special club, didn't really like it. When initiation came around, I was like, really? This is what I spent all that time worrying and getting hazed about, and it's just this? I mean, I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous. Did help me out at one point, helped me get a rifle that the sheriff's department was trying to confiscate from me. It's the only time I ever used that association. Kind of glad it was there, but never really relied on that. I always tried to rely on myself. But getting back to my experiences, I happened to be going to junior high in a place called Fort Smith, Arkansas, going to a little junior high called Chaffee. And just outside, I went to Kimmins. I went to Kimmins. There was a Chaffee over there. And just outside Fort Smith, it was military base called Fort Chaffee, Arkansas. And it was a big training base during World War II and everything. It used to be much larger than what it was when I was living there. But along about 1975, they, when the little skirmish over there in the Southeast Asian jungles ended, whole bunch of those Vietnamese that were airlifted out ended up at Fort Chaffee, which I can tell you is basically a FEMA camp. I mean, it is made for holding people, and it held the Vietnamese, and later on it held the Cubans when Castro cleared out his prisons. Whole different set of people, whole different mindsets. Most of those Cubans that came over were basically the criminals. And they caused a lot of havoc around the area. You know, they actually broke out and would have to be recaptured after they'd raised a little hell and put back in the concentration camp, basically. But the Vietnamese people, most of them, I'm not saying there weren't bad ones there, but most of them seemed like pretty proud, decent people. You know, their children started going to the junior high I was in. You know, they started being allowed to go off base and start getting edumacated into the American way of life. Only a few of them actually knew English, so they were, you know, they were kind of the special little guys, you know, the interpreters that would go around and help the other students in classes, help them learn English and tell them what their lessons were, et cetera, et cetera. And kind of got to be friends with one little guy. His name was, everyone called him Ringo. I don't know if he was a Beatles fan or what, never got that deep into it with him. His real name was like Nguyen Tram Dong or something, you know, something we couldn't pronounce, so he was Ringo. And got to actually talking with this little guy. You know, he would sit at lunch and kind of got a little chummy with him. And, I asked him, I said, you know, what was it like over there? He said, it's nothing that no one should or definitely would not ever want to go through. I mean, basically he told me that, you know, He was one of those little hustler guys you see in the war movies, you know, about Vietnam, you know. Hey, G.I., me got pretty sister. She love you long time. $10, you know. Yeah, he said, yeah, he did what you had to survive. You know, overall, the Americans, you know, if they weren't dropping bombs on them or, you know, if you weren't in a village somewhere, they were sweeping through an area trying to clear. He said, you know, overall, he said, the Americans, even though they were in their country, they weren't really wanted. Were overall generally more decent people, I guess. Even though they would allow him to sell his sister to him and be happy about it. But he said, you know, when the NVA came through, you know, he grew up, you know, out in the jungle, basically, and you know, they got you know, moved into, you know, the urban areas and, you know, to survive. And he said, yeah, he said, you know, when the NBA came through, oh, you were as nice as you could be to the NBA. You know, they were a little bit more cruel. And then they got on to, you know, well, the black pajama wearing people. And he said, some of them were just people trying to, you know, drive off the invaders in their country. A lot of them were just really the criminal class that just kind of liked no structure whatsoever and just raping and pillaging. And once again, there's good and there's bad and everything. But that's where I started learning about what war really was. Listening to, you know, his experience of someone who just come from there. You know, I mean, you know, not 6 months out of Vietnam. You know, pretty eye-opening to a point. Didn't really understand the world at that point in time. But the military, started getting an idea of the military and what it was. You know, like I said, grew up on an Army base, you know, next to an Army, a military base. You know, went to the library, you know, read, you know, war books all the time. You know, the Great War, World War II, you know, the Greatest Generation, you know, World War I, All Quiet on the Western Front, you know, all these old, air quote, classics, you know. Started seeing a different side of what was presented in all the written literature that was allowed to be printed. Because, you know, you didn't find the real controversial books, at least we were never led to look for them, really. We read the gung-ho stories. And, oh, my God, if that's another one of these movies that I just recently saw again. Gung-ho, movie that began like a month after Pearl Harbor, I think was released in late 42 or early 43, something like that. And, a movie about the first Marine killer unit, you know, the basically creating the special forces, you know, the special units. It wasn't just the grunts and the officers. These were the special elite, you know, shock troops, you know, that were being created. And in this movie, my God, the mind control on this, you know, they're getting people together, they're interviewing them. And it's like, well, how do we know that you'll kill when we need you to kill? Like, you know, one guy goes, well, this is just between us. It's not no repercussions, right? Yeah. He goes, well, one time some of these boys from over in Shiflett County came over because I was seeing a girl that was from Shiflett County, and I happened to be over at her house and heard a dog bark and saw some of them Shiflett boys sneaking up, so I snuck out the back door with my knife and let a few of them Shiflett boys have it when they didn't know I was coming, you know. And, you know, it was just kill, kill, kill. They were looking for killers. They didn't want good people because we'd done been invaded, you know, Pearl Harbor, which is long flight away from us, you know, a little dot out in the middle of the ocean. You know, where they supposedly, you know, they did kill a bunch of people. You know, and that probably didn't deserve it. But also then you come to find out that why were all the old, basically almost decommissioned ships, you know, lined up there just perfect, like they shouldn't have ever been lined up, you know, even in peacetime. You know, just all cram-packed into the harbor there, Pearl Harbor. You start learning different things. You start kind of waking up, and this glorified gung-ho. You know, after the war, I've talked to Vietnam vets. Man, you know, a lot of those guys were really screwed up. I knew one guy that actually, you know, he met him, what, early 80s? And he was like, yeah, he said, instead of, you know, going into combat, he said, I volunteered for, you know, basically, you know, drug testing. Basically, you know, volunteered himself into the MKUltra program. And I'm going to talk for a while longer here, and then I'll start taking some calls. I don't want to be the one talking, but that's just a little bit of me and my experiences. We'll get to back to the MKUltra after the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Back, folks, to the Republic of MK Ultra. No, Republic of Texas Radio. And I was just talking about this one guy that I met that basically volunteered, you know, into the MK Ultra program, the drug testing program. He talked about they'd take him and they'd stick him in an insane asylum and they'd shoot something into him. He said, "Man, sometimes you were like floating, you know, just floating around. Just having the weirdest experience you could, wandering around with all the other mental patients, but just cloud nine, you know. Nothing was bad. Everything was good. Just floating around." At other times, they would shoot him full of something, and if he wouldn't have been tied into a straitjacket and lashed to a bed and everything, he said, "You never wished so hard in your life that you wouldn't be able to draw another breath." Because everything was agony, you know. This is part of the secret program that you know wasn't really put out there to the public, you know. Unfortunately, Mike, this guy, man, had a great dog. Had this big Rottweiler, just the best trained dog. Didn't matter who you were. If Nick said, "Get him, Nick," you know, this dog would run right up to you and he'd be standing right in front of you, just like he's gonna, you know, rip you apart. You didn't want him to say Nick. Because that was Nick's attack command, and he could stick him on a 2x4, he could stick him on a tree, he could stick him on a car tire, and you wouldn't want to bend any one of them. But anyway, unfortunately, Mike ended up taking his own life. It just, what he'd gone through, flashbacks, what had been done to him by once again. mandatory military enlistment. You know, he just didn't have the ability to flee the country, you know, to Canada or wherever, and try to get out of it. You know, that was, you know, conscription they drafted. So he actually had the choice, though, and he chose that. Talked to other guys, new guys who were helicopter pilots. One of my girlfriends in high school, her father was a jet pilot. You know, talked with him about, you know, when they first started going, you know, supersonic. And what was it, the Saber, the Super Saber? He said, yeah, they'd have to go way up and then basically put it into as steep a dive as they could. And yeah, they could get enough speed to go supersonic. You know, I've got to go out to Fort Chaffee and watch him practice strafe and bomb with the F-4s on Potato Hill out there, which was the artillery range out there at that 72,000-acre base they had out there. And just different occurrences, new grunts that were on the ground, you know, guys in artillery units, grunts that were, you know, walking through the what used to be jungle, you know, which was then totally denuded. And imagine this, a lot of those guys were just deathly ill, the guys who'd walked through those totally denuded jungles that got sprayed by some colorful little concoction. Oh, what was it, Agent Orange? Oh, yeah, just kind of like... Roundup, you know, you can drink it and it won't do you any harm. Yeah. Tell us the truth, don't they? Most of these guys, deep down, were heavily scarred. I guess that's kind of why I met quite a few of them, because I was a bartender, you know, at a pretty nice place. It wasn't a pickup bar. It was just kind of a kickback, eat, relax, you know, watch basketball, football games, you know, kickback, nice atmosphere, and just have a good time. And met a lot of different people. CEOs of companies, various things. You know, of course, they didn't go across to the jungle over there. I know fewer guys that were over in in the sandbox. The ones that I have met that were over there, seems like those guys are even more screwed up than the Vietnam vets that I knew. I don't know. It's different circumstances. Different times, different upraising, you know, what society has changed. But anyway, I told you that I talked with Steve. You know, I wanted to say something about this, just kind of my experiences and kind of, you know, when I started learning, things started clicking into place, and I started learning, you know, wow, you know, military not really that good, you know, military kind of just a heavy hand, you know, the iron fist. But you know, it just happened like an hour and a half after that, listened to Keith Rogers' show. And he was talking about it much more eloquently and much more in a programmed, logical progression. You know, he could play clips of different things. I don't have that ability. It's just me here talking with you. But you know, I called his show and talked with Keith. And, you know, right after the show, Keith called me, and we actually talked for a couple hours. Had a good conversation with Keith. Interesting guy. You know, same level as most of us out there. He just... You know, different ways of going at it, but all of us trying to do what we think is right in the world that we see going wrong around us. You know, we all have our separate realities we live, but we can focus on certain common points. You know, someone that's kind of close to us right now is getting ready to go up to D.C., you know, and still got the vim and the piss and vinegar, you know, Actually, is kind of excited about it. Like I said, you know, it takes all different kinds. You know, if we're all the same mindset, it'd be kind of a boring place. But you know, it's kind of not my bag of tea. I was never much of a traveler. I was more of a homebody. And anyway, I guess this homebody will talk for a little bit more after the break. And I'll talk about a couple other people I've talked with, just good people. And we'll see you after the break here.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
So here we fight all through the night, going at it now, it's tooth and nail, and it's time for me to set my sails. Once we agree to set us free, it'll give us time to realize.
Welcome back, folks, once again, Republic of Texas Radio. Your host, co-host, Alan, riding along with you here. Somehow I'm on this end of the line, been able to sit here and blather at you for a bit. I know my train of thought isn't real cohesive, sometimes rather hard to follow, but when I found out how much I was being lied to, and what I'd seen in the world, when things started falling into place, started making sense. You know, this law that was passed, this bill that was passed, this blah, blah, blah that was passed. You know, everyone say, oh, well, it won't ever affect me, blah, 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 you know. And for, you know, a while it didn't. But then you start understanding that the ones that are doing this, very little, if anything, of what they do is instant. Most of what they do has been planned in back rooms and in think tanks. Whatever else you want to call them, satanic worship places, you can call it satanic. It definitely isn't good for what most of us, you know, out here, at least not the people listening to this, you know, feel is good for society or, you know, for anyone really, you know. Don't hurt me, don't take my stuff, I think is the way most of us want to live. But, you know, it sounds disjointed at times, and it kind of even seems disjointed to me at times. But you know, I started on a quest to try to figure out as much of what reality is, and try to dispel, climb out of the matrix, whatever you want to call it, just searching, a quest. You know, I've got a science back, you know, scientific mind, I guess. I've always, you know, got a chemistry set when I was little that you could actually, you know, if you ate the chemicals, you could kill yourself. You didn't have to have warning labels all over it. Don't eat it, you know. It's like somehow we were raised with enough sense to know not to eat the stuff that came in your chemistry set. You know, got a microscope. Still got my microscope. It's still in the box even. You know, I've got the box for it and everything. Still got some of the slides that I made and some of the slides that came with it. You know, it's a little battered up, but, you know, it still allows you to see things that you can't just look at and see. You know, so I've always been kind of immersed in science. You know, basically the definition of the word is, you know, ain't nothing never set. There can always be something else. You know, they try to tell us, oh, the science is set. It's like, well, no, that's just a bastardization of the word science. You know, they're once again changing the terminology and the meanings of the words that we, you know, we grew up with, that we were instilled with. And, you know, who knows what we were told the word meant. More than likely meant a whole something different back when ye olde English ye was being spoken-y, you know. It's been a progressive mind game. They don't do anything instant. Every now and then they have to make a change in a plan if there's too much opposition to it. But still, in a long span of time, it's, you know, instant. You know, no one was going to accept Hillary Care because she was just an evil female dog. I'm sorry. I'll try not to cuss too much. But, you know, so they brought it back under something that we, if you protested against it, it's like, well, you're just a racist, you know. So it's Obamacare. You know, now we got Hillary Care, but it's just entitled under a different, you know, method of bringing it into us. But once you figure out the mind control that's being played with us, do I see every bit of it? No, I see enough of it that it's just, I can't sit down and read the paper, read a magazine, you know, look at the television hardly. You know, even Russia Today television. I've been watching that for, what, 12 years, something like that now. And I've seen it basically completely change. You still get a lot more truth about what's going on in this country from them, but it has also become much more social justice warrior-oriented, more creating a direct going along with it, you know, the racial strife between us. You know, they're highlighting, you know, the aspects that most of us, if it was up to us, you know, just wouldn't even pay attention to. It's, like I said, I've always said, it's like, you know, if you've got dark skin and you're standing in front of me, it's like, well, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I don't see a black man standing in front of me, but that's not what I'm looking for as far as, you know, do I want to talk to you or just pass by you on the street? You know, are you my neighbor? They all say some good words here and there. You know, you don't look for the color of a man's skin. Look for the character that's inside of that skin. You know, that's what I believe most of us, like, you know, are actually striving for. You know, do we want children that look like us? Well, more than likely, yeah. You know, I think most of us of any color kind of want that. You know, it's not saying that I couldn't like, you know, a mixed race. But, you know, it's all circumstantial. You know, if it comes up, that's when you know, you'll figure it out. It can't mean that they're not a good person. You know, yeah, once again, talking to my little Vietnamese friend, you know, people out there that, you know, that women over there that had babies with GIs and they had mixed race, man, a lot of those mixed race kids over there had total hell. You want to talk about being discriminated against. You know, it's not just, you know, us whiteys, you know, doing this stuff. Okay. Pat in Fort Worth. I'll go ahead and take a caller. We'll go ahead and open them up. I guess I'm done blathering. So how's your day, Pat?
No, you're doing good. You're doing good. I appreciate knowing where you come from because I'm a military brat, too. But my brother went to Vietnam, so that's how much older I am than you, because it's 4 years different. But you know that there was a POW. Well, I think my husband and I kept on until we got it done. A report, a study made, which is about 2 inches thick. And that's what happened. There was, my mother never believed. That was my brother came home in the casket. Friendly fire fell short of target. He was a medic, and my stepfather, military, Navy, he said they put that cross on top of their head so they know who to hit. So they pick up the enemy, you know, it doesn't matter who was hurt, they would pick up the enemy and take them to the hospital. So,
yeah. Well, you know, that's everybody. Kind of, you know, a lot of times, you know, when the officers, you know, if the officers, you know, did get close to the battlefield, you know, they were kind of recommended to them, I believe, you know, to remove your insignia because, you know, in a guerrilla war, you know, those who have a brain, you know, they knew, you know, you start taking out the leadership, you know, you stand back off and you don't just walk into, you know, it changed from the way of, you know, like, you know, just, you know, during the Civil War, you know, just walking into volleys of fire, and whoever had the most, you know, firearms and the most musket balls, you know, they were the winners. You know, they started, you know, using guerrilla tactics, and very effective. You take out leadership, and but like you're saying, yeah, you know, medics, I mean, you're a big target. Talking about the POWs. You know, I can remember the POW MIA. You know, that we'd have the get-togethers, and you had the little pins and everything. And but you know, I also understand that a lot of those guys were just left over there. They weren't, you know, gone and searched out.
Well, who knows? They were discovered in all, you know, Russia, everywhere, alive.
Yep.
I guess slave labor camps. Who knows? Cages. Although I don't respect McCain when he told all of his stuff. That's how he got, I guess, exonerated somehow. But I just wanted to say that they did go over there because they were showing every day on the news people getting killed, which they don't do anymore. So now we don't even think of, hardly know what war is. So, but they also, we know that they wouldn't let us win. And there's a book called Sadness with Viet, that was Vietnam. But what I hated about my brother, I was kind of bitter because I figured everybody was on drugs because friendly fire fell short of target. That means our own people killed my brother. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got over it. But the thing they did to us, I hated it. I mean, we would send him letters, and they would never give him his letters. Before he died, he said, "Is your arm broken? You can't write me back?"
Yeah, so he thought he was just left out there hanging in the wind, huh?
Huh?
He just kind of probably figured that he was just kind of left hanging out there in the wind, that... What? They think everyone hated him because they were over there
still,
doing that?
You know,
it's the mind control, you know.
Well, my stepfather said he knew in the day in 1955 when they told him, "You will no longer teach this course on communism." He knew then that the communists had taken over. 55 now, okay? So now we know that McCarthy was right. They have been, just like Khrushchev said, we will better you, you will fall in our hands like a rotten apple.
Yeah,
that's what's happened.
We will take over America without having to fire a shot.
That's right. And that's why some people say, why does Trump keep saying we will never become socialists? I said, that's what people want to hear. They want to hear that. He's a statesman for what they want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I said, once you understand, you know, the mind control method, you know, I had, you know, psychology, and I even audited or something, abnormal psych, you know, and you get general ideas, but I also, like I said, I bartended, you know, for 10, you know, and then managed bars and restaurants, you know, for, four, you know, another, you know, basically 14 years I was in that business. And you watch people. You know, I was a good bartender. I could get a read on people, you know, like I said, if they were sad, if they were happy, you know, or you know, are they a good person, are they a bad person? You got to where you could, you know, you could basically look in people's eyes almost and you know, and see is there life
maybe
in there.
Maybe you were just, you know, sensitive. Sensitive.
Yeah, intuitive or whatever you want to call
it.
What
I hated too about Vietnam was that they taught them, see, you have to have hope and you have to have thinking you're going to win. I mean, war is hell, but we need to pray it'll end and pray we'll win. We'll win. And they used to make a march to the tomb that they were not going to come back. They were going to die. And, you know, Christians say, just keep it up. You get what you ask for. So it was wicked from day one, Vietnam.
Yes, ma'am.
And the only people benefited was the Vietnam people. A lot of Vietnamese over here now. In fact, when we quit, they got the word boat people. Thousands and thousands tried to get out on boats and were captured, right, or killed. So communism is hell, and people need to wake up. You cannot be neutral. I just heard this guy.
I will rectify that and say, governmental systems are hell, you know, because they all tend towards, you know, a totalitarian type of mentality. You know, I just last night, I just reread, you know, Smedley Butler's little, basically a pamphlet, you know. He found out, you know, all that stuff, you know, he thought he was, you know, over there fighting for, you know, God and country and everything. And he found out, it's like, what, you mean I was fighting for United Fruit Company? What? You know? He found out the sham, you know, that war is a racket. Governments are a racket. It's a control mechanism for the one-up-and-brown-nosing, backstabbing rat bastards of this world.
See, look, when you say, if you believe the Constitution and the preamble, it's we the people, okay? We the people means we're responsible. We can't say we're not. We let them take over the schools, and they don't even know what the Constitution is in school. I mean, we have done it all ourselves because we're probably the freest country on earth, Christian country supposedly used to be, and we lost it, so we can't blame anybody else.
Well, it was we.
The government
lost it.
Is us. That's what's good.
Yeah, well,
the government is
yeah,
us.
Yes, yes, and no. The way these people do things, that the control that they get. Of course, you know, control of the information is the most important thing. You know, it's been that since time immemorial. You know, but when it was, the guy walking through the streets of the castle, you know, were ringing the bell. Hear ye, you know, the king, you know, this is the news. And, you know, they'd walk through, and then when more people could read, then there was, you know, the town bulletin board. But still, what was posted up there was, except for in rare occurrences, you know, most people didn't know what was going on 100 miles away from where they were. You know, they were local. And news from the outside.
That was then, now is now.
And it's even worse now. I mean, my God, now the control mechanism they've got, you know, with Operation Mockingbird, with the Smith.
Well, I know that, but see, you even know the name of it. If you know the name of the enemy's plan, you could look out for that enemy. And we have
those.
I mean, there's so much right now on internet, on YouTube. I can't keep up, so I have to have God helping me, and He will, because He's not going to do it for you. I mean, He's not going to wash your dishes. He's not going to.
There's that fear factor always. You know, it could always, you know, be worse. I want to live a comfortable life. Even if people are struggling, You know, they you try to explain to them, and they tend to, you know, stick their fingers in their ears and close their eyes and go, nah, 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 because even as much as they're struggling, they don't want it to get worse.
No.
You know, they don't want to go to war. No one really, well, no, there are some that want to go to war, but most people don't. They want to lead as comfortable a life as they can, just exist and try to be as happy as they can in life. And they don't, you know, what we talk about is not, you know, very pleasant. You know, there's, the grip has gotten tighter and tighter.
You said something about science. Well, I'm going to tell you what's happened to science, because I'm a scientist.
Let's do that after the break here, Pat. Hang on until after the break here. We'll catch you on the other side.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So here we fight all through the night, going at it now, it's tooth and nail, and it's time for me to set my sails once we agree.
Welcome back to Republic of Texas Radio, folks. We're talking with Pat in Fort Worth here, and she was going to tell us about her science experience.
I don't know. We were in San Diego because he was on a ship, and we were in Norfolk twice. And I went to San Diego State 1 year, although I knew about, Los Angeles and that one. But, I've been there in my science. I've been there because what we did is we developed an anti-serum to match kidney and transplant donors and recipients for families. with an NIH grant through Emory University. And so I traveled
basically,
to
what basically like an anti-rejection, right? Anti-rejection type theorem.
Well, I graduated from Georgia. I went to Old Dominion in Norfolk, Virginia. It's helping me remember that Dominion thing, crappy thing that they did to us here in Tarrant County, Dominion voting machines. Anyway, that was no science. I had to leave. There was no science there. It was awful. And my chemistry teacher told me, he said, they think that they you know, can have a college, but if it's not a good college, nobody's going to want to come here for any reason. So, you know, even the teachers knew how bad it was. So I left, and I went to, on my own, away from my family, and I went to Georgia, and I went to Georgia State, which was just a college then, and went and got my BS in medical technology. And worked in, yeah, we didn't know what racism was. Martin Luther King started the racism because I worked in a black hospital right after I got out of school across the street. I don't know. I've never understood anything. I grew up in Mississippi, and we played with Charlie. I asked my dad, did we play with Charlie Pride? And he said, no, but I know just where he lived because Charlie Pride talked just like my dad. And I saw racism in Norfolk, Virginia, but.
And once again, most of us left to our, there are people out there who, once again, everyone has their own separate, realities that they live in. But for the most part, think most of us, we're just looking for, we just want to be around good people, it doesn't really matter what color they are.
Well,
you understand, that how the blacks have been manipulated.
Yeah, I think so.
They have been.
I think the whole world's that way. See, nobody wants to attack Rand because the people over there are on our side. The media will show you different. Our newspaper here showed people out mad about Soleimani getting killed, but the fact was, they were out there, and they put an American flag on the ground and tried to get them to walk on it, and they wouldn't do it. They walked around it. And they show you a picture. It's just like Biden. He'll show you a picture. It's probably a Trump crowd. He didn't have any crowds. And then people out there watch TV know it. I mean, they believe what they see.
If they allowed us all to get together and become a cohesive force, it would be a force that they wouldn't have any control over. And that's what the control freaks, that's their worst nightmare, is us all getting together, men and women getting together, blacks and whites, all different colors, different races, different religions. You can believe differently, but that doesn't allow the controls that they need and that they crave. This has been a good conversation.
No God. I mean, at least enough that he will help you because he's looking for people to help. But he's not going to do it for us.
Whatever that might be for you, yes. We all have our own version.
No, for everybody. It's for everybody. I'm just giving up now.
Enjoy the conversation, Pat. Like I said, I got Lauren on the other side. And thanks for the conversation. Hey, good talking with you, Pat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.